objective form has reached the same purity, turn out the soul, and the objective form has reached an equal standard of purity. When the levels are equal, it can flow. But when the levels are not same, all the time the levels were not same, and there was no free flowing, the physical body could not come up to the spiritual man, and the spiritual man remained the witness and did nothing. Because even if it were to wake up, you'll be. It's not ready to understand and hear. Unless this physical form reaches an equal state of purity. Yes, the higher and lower cities are gained by incarnation, drugs, words of power, intense desire, or by meditation. Who wants higher and lower cities? There are disciples who hanker or yearn for psychic power. They need such external gurus who can show them how to acquire them. There are tantric methods known all over India, in China, in Tibet, where you are taught to acquire great psychic power. Possession of psychic power is not the least sign of spiritual possibility. The worst of man can have the stronger psychic powers. You get my point? So, there are disciples who hanker and yearn for psychic powers. They need such external gurus who can show them how to acquire them. They can come naturally to a disciple as he or she follows methodically the path. They can come naturally to a disciple as he or she follows methodically the path. Or it could have happened in an earlier life. Or can happen in this life. Today, all over the world, we are talking about brown sugar. Brown sugar is a transitory means, a short means of getting a sort of release from the body to experience some freedom. But the price paid is that the body is destroyed day after day. And to get the same amount of freedom, you need more of the drug. And the drug being poisoned destroys the body. The price is too much, or what is experienced that is too little. Thousands of years back in India, soma juice was taken for this purpose also. But soma juice, like brown sugar, did not destroy the body. You get that point? So it was taken for such temporary relaxation. So, in the sutras, you are drawing your attention to various methods by which you can experience this release, even temporarily. But he points out that methodical steps along the path, even if you don't want, you will get this power. You understand me? Even if you don't want, you will get, because the minute this matter becomes pure, the minute the individual mind becomes as pure as chitti itself, all the powers of chitti will flow into the individual. And if you reject these powers, then only you will be able to communicate with your own divine fragment. And through the guidance of your divine fragment, you will have Atma Shakti and not psychic power. Siddhi, the two words are different. Psychic powers are siddhis. Well, through your own divine fragment, you come to Atma Shakti, what is the strength of the divine fragment is your own strength.
What's the power is mantra?
Mantra. You see? Mantra, japa, bhakti. It is a very powerful way of setting up communication with your divine fragment. External guru who will give you the guru mantra is very important. If you think that, oh, of this japa, I like this japa, from tomorrow I'll... It has no meaning. If your own really dependable external guru has whispered into your ear the guru mantra, and then you go on repeating it ceaselessly, so much so, like he said, he'll be bidding you impose it on yourself, so that even sleeping or walking or talking, that goes on in your mind. And then you have done it for lifetime after lifetime. Bhakti also takes you to a greater height as anything else. There is only one little difficulty in bhakti. Suddenly you get an attitude of not liking this world, this material world, and you might give it up, might take up sannyas, which is not allowed on the path. Because only when you live as a householder, you face the difficulties of life and sansara, and then to live simultaneously a life of spiritual greatness is what is needed. So only this, that most of these bhakti yogis, they get a total dislike for the world, for the material things, and they, you know, if that is not there, if they can quietly maintain the bhakti and live the normal life, they achieve the same greatness as by any other words of power. Intense desire, obsession. Obsession is not the word. Theory aspiration is the word. We have seen that. All by meditation. That comes as a very difficult possibility, because unless you have not achieved yoga, unless you have not called upon your inner master, meditation, as you have seen, dharana meditation is not possible. The practices and methods are not the truth, all of the transfer of consciousness, but they serve to remove obstacles, just as the husbandman prepares his ground for sowing. You see, if you have read any Zen books, you will find practically at every step, they say, what is to find? What is there to search? You are born with your Transcendental Master, what is there to search? It's all right to say all things, but unless you are in communication with that Divine Source, you get nothing. If I know that I am the richest man in the world, but yet not know where my fortune is, what is the sense? I must have that fortune with me. If I know that within me is the Divine Fragment, it's not enough. It is a means to goad me to go forward. But unless I am in communication with my divine fragment, it is useless. And to be in communication with divine fragment, the sutra says, the practices and methods are not the cause of transfer of consciousness, but they serve to remove obstacles, just as the husbandman prepares his ground for sowing. See, you say that if the rain is good, if I have sown my seed, and here if I have plowed my land, why should not I get an harvest? You may not have removed the weeds before sowing the seeds, and your harvest will be weeds and not seeds. So though you put the seeds under good rain, you will not get the harvest. So the most important thing is to remove these weeds. And removing the weeds is removing the obstacles. So unless you remove the obstacles, the grantees that are in you, and that is only done by practices. So he says that they are very essential. The practices and methods are not the true core of transfer of consciousness, but they serve to remove obstacles, just as the husbandman prepares his ground for sowing. You see? So those who ridicule that, what is the need? We are already born with a Buddha nature. We may be born with Buddha nature, we may be Christ inside, but what is the use? There must be a communication so that this can act like Christ, can act like Buddha, can live like Christ. See? And for that, the inner obstacles are to be removed. And for that, refining exercise, rhythmic breathing, all these are necessary. Upgrading awareness, all these are absolutely necessary. The I am consciousness is responsible for the creation of organs to make the sense of individuality is enjoyed. The real cause of being born again and again is because of I am consciousness. We say I am, you are, she is. We are breaking ourselves into pieces. See, when this state of understanding continues, birth after birth is necessary. When we come to the experience and understanding that she and he and I and they are all one, because divine fragment in me, in you, in her and they is the same. Then only the I am consciousness sees. Till that time, birth after birth is necessary. There is no way out. There is identity of relation between memory and effect-producing cause, even by separated by species, time and place. That's not told you a little while ago. The most destructive thing in the universe is memory. The most destructive thing in the whole universe is memory. Because of memory, we connect our future to the past. So what does he say here? There is identity of relation between memory and effect-producing cause. What is the effect-producing cause? The incoming impulses. If they meet memory, an effect-producing cause results in thought form. But if you bypass memory by the five passages, as in 3B, then there is no possibility of the past continuing into the future. The past and present exist in reality. The form assumed in time concept of the present is the result of developed characteristics and holds latent seeds of future quality. Today, as I am or as you are, is nothing but the translation of the sanskaras we have gathered in our past life. We don't come empty-handed and we don't go empty-handed as most of the philosophers say or the poets say. We come both the hands full of sanskars and go with both hands full of sanskars. And on this is based the structure of our body, mind, system, of our standard on the path of evolution. All we have to do is change this sanskar. There is only one way to change the sanskars. Sanskar is a product of incoming impulse and memory. If you push out memory, incoming impulse cannot create sanskar. If you wipe out past sanskar, there is no future sanskar, or whatever sanskar you create are of a higher stage. Get my point? Get karma. karma, you can be afraid of, if you have not taken care of your sanskars. You can be afraid of your karma if you have not taken care of your sanskars. If you have taken care to see that the sanskars grow day by day, cleaner, purer, higher, karma has no value. It can only come your way to teach you a lesson. If you have already learned, if you have improved and risen up in your sanskar, there is no way to be afraid of karma. That means, the body with which you will be born, your body-brain system in your next birth, your standard on the path, on the evolutionary stage, will depend upon what sanskars you will improve and carry along with you. The characteristics, whether latent or potent, partake of the three, nature of the three gunas. We know that the three qualities are everywhere. Nobody is free from these three qualities. No object is free from three qualities. No mind is free from three qualities. No word, no thought, no sanskar is free from three qualities. All the three qualities are balanced. That means when the quality of your sanskar is being improved, the quality by themselves will improve and come into a balance, then nothing remains. You can take a birth happily that it is going to be a good, happy birth. Happy in the sense that there will be less obstacles in your path to progress. The manifestation of the objective form is due to the one-pointed, that means long-prevailing, of the effect-producing cause, that is modifications of thinking instrument. This 14 is the same as the earlier 4. The iron consciousness is responsible for the creation of organs through which the sense of individuality is enjoyed, is the same as 14. The manifestation of the objective form is due to the one-pointed, that means long-prevailing, effect-producing cause. That means, if you are not going to change your sanskar, then you will be this after even 10 million years. The law can't change anything. The law will operate as you want the law to operate. The law is helpless. The law operates as you want to operate. If you want to remain stagnant here, after 10 million years you will be the same. If you improve your sanskars today, tomorrow the law will see that you are on a higher stage. You get my point? The many modifications of the one mind produces the diverse form which depends for existence upon those many mind impulses. It is the same as saying, again, that the millions of thought forms that are created by our individual mind and brain are responsible for the structure that we have, are responsible for the sanskars that we may have, are responsible for our suffering or happiness, are responsible for our progress on the path. These forms are cognized or not cognized according to qualities latent in the level of awareness. Ultimately, what are those five exercises for? Three with the prism and two without prism. Upgrading awareness. It is the upgrading of awareness. You see, the improving of the qualities, the improving of the sanskar, go together with raising the level of awareness. And when the level of awareness is raised, what these two poor eyes couldn't see today, tomorrow they will be able to see. There is no change in those two poor eyes, but yet tomorrow you will see what today you could not see. the level of awareness. You see? For that, upgrading of awareness practices are necessary, destroying the obstacles are necessary, resolving the grantees are necessary, refining exercises are necessary, rhythmic breathing is necessary. So it is over. Mukti is over. But book 4 will not be like book 1, 2 and 3. So unless you come with the experience of the rhythm of breathing, book 4 will be not enjoyable. Otherwise it will be tremendously enjoyable. But come with the experience of the rhythm of breathing. See whether your mind, your head, your chest, your arms, your legs, they experience the rhythm as you breathe. Sit like this, relax and breathe and see. See that rhythm. Enjoy and experience that rhythm. That rhythm must sink into you. Without music, without anything, this rhythm must sink into you. And then you experience the rhythm of rhythmic breath. You will be ready for the movement of prana. And this will remain fiction till you experience the rhythm of breath. When then you will do your phase exercise, when you come to 18, that is the movement of prana. 1 millimeter every breath, 1 millimeter every breath, in the direction you want. But unless you have experienced rhythm, movement of prana is not possible. Come with the experience of rhythmic breath. And leave me once again my word of confidence. Yes? So, any question? We will be meeting on last Thursday of June. I think it is 28. You have a pretty 2 months. Enjoy your rhythm of breath. Experience your rhythm of breath. You will be a different person if you enjoy the rhythm of breath. Try to enjoy it. You will not need anything. And see that it is your first concern when you get up in the morning and your last concern when you go to bed. Try during the day totally to live with it. Time and again come to it and live in it. There is no greater reward than enjoying the experience of the rhythm of breath. Because only the experience of breath can take you to the experience of prana. And the two combined can work for you the miracle that you will one day experience. And book 4, book 5, part 1, part 2 are the experiences of the synchronization of breath to prana. Otherwise, as I will read and explain to you, it will look like fiction. Let it become effective. With you, lies with you. If you come with the experience of the rhythm of breath, you will go into enjoying the prana. Two body senses, synchronization. The greatest art is synchronization of breath to prana. That is called pranayama. Otherwise, whatever exists in the name of pranayama are breathing exercises. But unless we enjoy and experience the togetherness, the togetherness of prana with rhythmic breath, synchronizing, then only we'll enjoy the movement of prana at first and then the power of prana. Both will enjoy. Before that, we'll also, what shall I say? We will also refined vayus. The vayus in the body are degenerate prana. So we will include vayus into prana. We will regenerate them and then see the synchronization of breath to prana. But unless with a deep feeling of enjoying and experiencing this rhythm of breath, if you come with that, much will be possible. Good luck. Yes?
I wanted to ask about the mechanism of breathing. See, when we breathe in, see the lungs to breathe the air, or inhale and exhale. How does it affect the stomach or belly also takes part in it?
You see, this is your one lung, this is another lung. There it is broad. The base of the lung lies on the muscle diaphragm. This is the diaphragm and the two lungs are here. Now the diaphragm moves like this. The diaphragm moves like this. When the diaphragm becomes straight, the chest becomes broad and we breathe in. When the diaphragm becomes like this, the chest falls in and we breathe out. Now when the diaphragm becomes straight, the lungs take breath. But the breath which is below the diaphragm is pushed. So the stomach comes out. There is no muscular movement. It is because the diaphragm is pushed in. And in rhythmic breathing, 3 SRB, we take a complete full breath. Normally in our wrong breathing, we can breathe here, not the total capacity of the lung. So when the diaphragm is properly and rhythmically pushed down, you see your 3 SRB is nothing but the rhythm of diaphragm. Today it is like this. And it could be 20 times, 17 times every minute. But in rhythmic breathing, you see,
this is why the movement of the
stomach. That is why the stomach movement. Otherwise, why there is a breath in the stomach? But it is the rhythmic breathing of the diaphragm. You impose rhythm on the diaphragm because of your rhythmic breathing. See, once you impose this, then the lungs will come. You get my point? And every minute, twice, the entire quantity of blood comes to the lung for purification. You get my point? And how many times in 24 hours? 24 into 16 into 2. So many times it comes and takes with it not only oxygen, but the rhythm. And these, every cell of the blood goes to every organ, every point in the brain. And there, not only deposits blood, right, blood, but rhythm. That is why they experience the rhythm in your body. Start from the diaphragm, go to the lungs and through the blood, to the entire body brain. When you experience that rhythm, you will be ready for the experiencing of prana movement.
Another question, is the prana different now there?
Of course, there is no two things separate. Entirely different.
What is the difference in the prana and breath?
God in there.
Is not the air we breathe in the prana?
Air is air. Prana is prana. Prana is chitti. Prana is chitti. Prana is a word that defines a state of total power and calmness. Chitti is a state of total power and calmness. Prana sustains the whole universe. In the whole universe there is no air to sustain. To require air in the whole universe, there may not be 0.00001% of earth like ours to use air. The entire other portion of the universe is prana sustained. You get my point?
What is prana vayu?
It is an indescribable thing. It is neither oxygen nor anything. It is a substance by itself that sustains the universe, that sustains everything created in the universe, and which flows into every living, non-living substance. If it does not, that thing cannot exist. But it comes in at his own choice, goes out at his own choice, and there is no rhythm, there is no synchronization, there is no use made of it. You get my point? We are starving in spite of enormous quantity of food. Prana quantity is boundless, and yet we are starving of prana because we do not know how to make use of it. You get my point? It can only get synchronized to a synchronous movement of breathing. We come to prana intake. How prana intake is done by the body brain system, and how it can be synchronized to the breathing of the body brain system. But before that, we must come to the stage of experiencing the rhythm of breath. And this rhythm of breath is being imposed and is being practiced and is to be experienced for only one reason, that the intake of prana has a particular rhythm and our breath must be brought to that rhythm for all 24 hours. When we experience the rhythm of breath to the intake of prana, then we will know what the synchronization of air with prana, breath with prana. Okay then, we meet on 28th and come better prepared. Thank you. Thank you.